Welcome back to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kuthrecia, and here is another episode for Medical Mondays. And I'm going to be talking about some things that you can do to help your younger child kind of ease through the separation anxiety, particularly at drop-off and transitions. This is something that I definitely, as a single mother, a first-time mom, have struggled with a lot. And let me tell you, the overwhelming mom guilt that I would feel at every single preschool, two-year-old classroom, three-year-old classroom, pre-K drop-off, it definitely tugged on my mama heartstrings so much so that a lot of times I would be in the car driving to work crying and then call her teacher literally, you know, 2 hours later when she settled in and she tells me, oh, she's fine, she's playing. Like, she stopped as soon as you left. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl had me wanting to quit my job. And it just didn't always get better. Like, there were some days that were better and some days were like, oh, okay, you've outgrown this. And every single day I felt like I was being consistent, but it just wasn't enough. And it just had me spiraling and all these thoughts of like, oh, I'm not good enough. If there were two parents in the home, this would be so much easier. Maybe I need to change my work hours. You guys, legit anxiety on my part as well, right? So stay tuned. I'm going to dive in. Quick few tips of how to deal with some of the separation anxiety. Okay. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. Are you a single mom who is tired of feeling overwhelmed by doing it all? Have you been asking yourself, what is my real purpose outside of motherhood and my career? Are you tired of yelling, feeling mom guilt at the end of the day? If you're ready to go from chaos to confidence in your mindset and in parenting, then this is the place for you. Here we are authentic, transparent, and frankly, we're here to burst all of those mom guilt bubbles and empower you to take back control of your life so you can go from just surviving in motherhood to thriving and walking confidently in your best, purpose-filled life God intended for you. I'm your host, Dr. Kuthrecia, a board certified bilingual pediatrician. I'm also fellowship trained in pediatric urgent care medicine. That's just my fancy title for the weekdays, but 24/7, I'm the proud single mommy of my little wild mini me toddler. I'm also a postpartum depression survivor. Now, I'm on a mission to empower other single moms to take back control of their life. Through candid conversations, we will learn, be encouraged, inspired, and committed to making practical changes so we can be our best selves for the queen who reigns already inside of us. So sit back and relax, mommy. This is your time to unwind. Go ahead, grab your favorite drink. Pour me one too, queen, because it's time for our girl talk. Let's talk about all things motherhood, mindset, and even medicine. No, not like medicine, but you know, remember, I'm a pediatrician, so I'm gonna go ahead and give you some pediatric tips on how to parent, right? I hope that you love listening to and learning from the podcast, but please remember, it's not intended to be a substitution for a physician-patient relationship. All right, queen, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's go. Okay, so my daughter is a newly five-year-old, and we're still in pre-K since we have a late birthday. But let me tell you, the separation anxiety has always been there, starting probably around when she entered daycare. So separation anxiety, honestly, can be seen in infancy, can also be seen in toddler years, as well as preschool years. And it's very uncommon that the separation anxiety extends beyond those preschool years. And at that point, it would warrant probably definitely a conversation with your pediatrician to talk about, could there be some other underlying stressors or factors that is causing them to have maybe some more of a generalized anxiety, okay? So for infants, separation anxiety develops usually once a child has an understanding of object permanence. That means that like an object exists even if I'm not near it or if it's removed from my presence, right? Like the whole peekaboo concept, right? Okay. So once your infant realizes that you're really gone, when you are gone, usually they start to develop some sort of separation anxiety. And that can be seen as early as 4 or 5 months, but really we don't start to see the separation anxiety until about 9 months. And then it's like the year to 15 months where you start to see more of the stranger anxiety, and they don't want to be around anyone who's not a part of their nuclear home family that usually is not taking care of them, right? So this separation anxiety in infants definitely can be worsened when they are hangry. So if they're hungry, if they're tired, if obviously they're feeling ill, if there's been a recent change in the routine, then definitely it's going to make for a harder time to transition, dropping them off with grandmommy, the babysitter, you know, or, you know, just leaving them at the daycare so you can go to work. So remember that the infants thrive off routine. So do our toddlers, all our preschoolers. And as much as you can keep the routine consistent, that would definitely help diminish some of those symptoms that they may be experiencing. Because obviously we can't talk to our 9-month-old, and that maybe not even so much our 1 and 2-month-old, our 1-year-old in regards to explaining, you know, mommy's going to be back at 3. There's no concept of time, right? Whereas a preschooler, you can say things like, which is what I do with my daughter, and she asks even, you know, she'll say, you know, are you coming after morning snack or afternoon snack, you know, because just saying snack time isn't sufficient enough for her. So I'll say things like, oh, you know, first you'll have circle time, and then you'll do your snack, and then it'll be lunch. And then when you wake up from nap, you'll have one more snack, and I'll be back before you go out to the playground, okay? And toddler years, like, this is the age where you see the separation anxiety increase. If you didn't see it much in infancy. For my daughter, she didn't really have infancy separation anxiety, probably most likely because the nannies came to our home. So she was still in her home environment. It was just like, oh, here's this new person playing with me. I see my mommy. My mommy said bye. But then when I look up, I didn't see her anymore, you know? But it wasn't a lot of transition that I had to do leaving out the door. I never had to hide or sneak. That is my biggest tip for you, is try not to do that. Try not to sneak and hide. You know, the tears are going to be there, especially when you get into toddler years and preschool years. Like, you can talk with your 3-year-old, you can talk with your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, and explain as you're preparing to get to the school, mommy is dropping you off. Mommy will be back. This is where our Daniel Tiger came into play. We'd always sing, grown ups, come back. Okay. Don't judge me on my singing voice. Clearly, you can tell my voice right now. I am recovering from a cold, but you can Google it. It's like grown-ups come back, right? And the 2-year-olds would all sing that to each other and just encourage each other. My daughter's daycare, and they would say, mommy, daddy's always come back. They always come back. And that's just their way of, you know, soothing themselves and self-regulating those emotions that they would have at the morning drop-offs, okay? So the behaviors that we see in the toddlers around 15 or 18 months, you know, separations definitely can be a little more difficult. Again, when they're hungry, when they're tired, when they're sick, which is all the time for a toddler, right? Like, these behaviors are going to be loud, they'll be tearful, and they can be some major meltdowns and definitely cause the mommy guilt to rise up to the top, where you have you thinking like, oh my gosh, is someone like mistreating my child? Like, what's happening here? Like, she was totally fine in the car. Like, what's going on, right? Thank God for the schools that provide the apps or the teachers who are very, very gentle in their approach and know that you're the mama bear who is going to call multiple times a day. That was me. Like, so much so, I would call, and if there was a new teacher in the room, they just immediately be like, it's Sage's mom. Like, they didn't even have to ask, like, for my name. They just knew it was me calling, because I was always calling just to see how she was doing after drop-off. Because it was that bad, you guys. Like, legit, prior to COVID, like, it was that bad. We're now in a pre-K where I do not have the permission to access the school for purposes of mitigating the spread of COVID inside their school, which is appropriate, but it really has helped us in helping with some of those meltdowns in the morning time. There's no more leg clinging, running out the classroom. She was doing this at 3, even at 4. And like, to the point of like, I mean, I was late. It was just dragging on our drop-off time. And I can remember going into like mommy forums and Clubhouse and different, you know, mommy groups on Facebook, just saying, what are you guys doing? Like, I legit felt like I was doing something wrong every single day. Like, we would talk about it on the weekend. I would ask her, you know, what her feelings were, validate it. You know, it could really explain that mommy's going to work, you know, even the days that I wasn't going to work, still lying. So I could have some me time. But mommy goes to work, dads go to work, but we always come back. We're going to work because we have a gift. We're, you know, I'm helping people, in my case, with seeing children. And mommy's going to come back. And while you're here, you're learning and you're having fun with your teachers and your friends enjoy seeing you. You know, even as we prepare to go to a new school, we talk about it for weeks, you know, because it was at a time where still during COVID, I knew that the transition would be a little more bumpier for us since I could not go into the school. But thankfully, they let me go back for the first 2 days. But it was still the same, you know, almost to the point where, like, I mean, the administrators are having to, like, peel her off of me. So what did I have to really learn and continue to try to practice daily or Monday through Friday daily to really make it through this season? It's so much better now, but it was at a point where it was really, really bad to the fact where I was like wanting to change the hours that I was working because, again, the mom guilt of being a single mom of doing it all. I used to tell myself, oh my God, if there was just a partner here, you know, like another parent that I co-parent with who could do this, then it wouldn't be so much pressure on me. Because it just felt like in those moments, you guys, I would look around and be like, there's not another single child having a meltdown right now because they're being walked in by their dad or they're being walked in by both parents. And I just knew in my heart that it was because of our family situation, which is totally a lie, but it's not what you could have convinced me in the moment because it was that extreme and it caused a lot of anxiety for me as well. But here we are now, she's 5 and we're doing so much better and I'm grateful for because it really was taking a toll on my emotions. So what are some of the things if you are in the situation with dealing with separation anxiety with your child, doing drop-offs, transitions, what are some of the things that you can do to kind of smooth through that and try to survive those moments? Because it does get better. I promise you, I'm raising my hand to show you that I went through it. It was tough. It was rough, but it does get better. So number one, create a quick goodbye ritual. Quick. That's the key word. Make it quick. Make it quick. Don't do like me and try to peep around the hallway and see if she settled down. Like, because she's watching you watching her, you know, like make it quick as much as you can. And the fact that now with our pre-K that I can't go into the building and it's just literally at the vestibule lobby area, like, you know, I don't even punch in a keypad pin number or anything. Like they see us, they come to the door and they're like, hey, and it's like she walks on in. Make it quick. Even if you know, when we were formerly in a different school and had the opportunity to walk down the park in the parking garage, walk down the escalator, you know, we would do things. I would try to distract her as much as I could, sing a song, you know, talk about like what job she was going to pick for the day, walk her to her cubby area, put her backpack up, put her coat up. I love you. But from the cubby to the door was quite a walk, especially trying to maneuver all of those toys, Lego stands, and other kids saying, hey, Sage's mom, hey, hey, hey. I'm like, hey, you know, and now she's on the leg or she'll beat me to the door and try to get to the door. And gosh, you know, with the teacher turnover the way it was during the pandemic, there would only be one teacher in the classroom. So I'm like, I can't expect her to come and like help get her off my leg when she's trying to serve breakfast. It was a hot mess, you guys. But I sometimes extended that longer because I literally was like trying to be on the ground face to face, eyeball to eyeball level and just say, what is it else that you need? And it just wasn't the time to reason with her because she was not in left brain moments. If you haven't read The Whole Brain Child, I recommend that to you guys. It's a really great book about how our toddler brains, their toddler brains, sometimes don't talk to each other. There's two sides of our brain, our left side and our right side. And she even told me this once, which is the funniest thing. Like she could have so much insight as a 4-year-old. And she said, and it was about a drop-off. This is so funny. It was about a drop-off situation that happened like the day before. And so we talked about it. I was like, well, you know, why do you think you ran out of the classroom several times? You know, that's you don't have permission to touch the door. That's a teacher touch is what they would call it. That's dangerous. You know, there are no adults in the hallway. And that's something you should do once mommy, you know, brings you into your classroom. And her reply, you guys, very informatively, like without any hesitation, she said, my brain made me do it. I was recording her and I was trying not to laugh, but I was just like, oh my God, like it's the truth. Like her brain made her do it. She's like, my brain made me do it. It wasn't me. It was my brain. And I was like, okay, well, so now let me talk to your brain. But when you make it quick, when you know, validate your feelings, I see that you're upset. I know that you're upset about being dropped off today. This is a safe place for you to be. You know, your teacher's here. She loves you. Your friend's here. They care about you. It will be okay. Mommy's coming back after snack time. I guarantee you that. I want you to have a great day. Here's your last kiss. I'm walking away. You know, like, you're going to hear the screams. You're going to, they may even fall down and melt down. But as long as you're consistent about doing that and you take the pressure off of you that there was something extra that you need to do, that there was something that you missed, because most likely it's not anything that you missed. It's not anything extra that you have to do. It's just something that they are processing. And when you are a working mother like myself, unfortunately, we don't have the time. And honestly, if you did have the time, the extra 20 minutes built in, it really is better to build that extra time and bonding in your home space or in the car, but not at the drop-off scene, because that actually is going to make the separation anxiety a little bit more worse than you probably could anticipate. Be consistent. Number two, try to do the same drop-off with the same routine, the same ritual, to avoid that separation anxiety being escalated as much as you can. You know, our toddlers, our preschoolers, they thrive off a routine. And it definitely will, at the same time, will allow your child to simultaneously build trust and their own independence in trusting that, you know, you fulfill your promises. So if you say, you know, we wake up, we eat our breakfast, we maybe do a puzzle or read one, you know, one of their favorite books. Then we put on our coat, we get in the car, we sing a song. Like, I really try to talk her through the steps when she was between the ages of 2 and 4 of what we were doing in the day, you know. And when she became 4 and a half, now 5, like, she started walking me through the day and she would say, oh, well, we didn't count the fire hydrants today, you know, or you didn't tell me how many patients you have today. Because in her mind, if she knows how many patients I have, then she can figure out some sort of toddler pre-K time that I have no knowledge of as far as when mommy's coming back, you know, which makes sense in her mind. So being consistent helps us as well. Number three, attention. When separating, give your child full attention, you know, be as gentle and be as compassionate and loving that you can to provide that affection. But again, don't prolong that drop off as much as you can. You know, again, it's about acknowledging their feelings. I see that you're upset. I know that you're upset. You told mommy, mommy understands, but mommy still has to leave in this moment to go to work. Mommy will be back after snack time. I love you. And walk away. Say your goodbyes, despite whatever show they're putting on, all the antics and cries for you to stay. You're not a bad mom for leaving. Don't you dare think that. I used to think that. I would cry in my cars, you guys, legit cry, speeding, because now I'm late. And I was like not on my game to see my first couple patients sometimes. I was just like really like overwhelmed and stressed by like what just went down. And like I said, I would call her teacher like 2 hours later and she's like, she's fine. Like, she's fine. Like, she was fine with 2 minutes. You know, I hugged her and I said, you know, what was going on? She was like, I don't know. And a lot of times, you know, and her teacher would say too, like, we just would know. Sometimes it just wasn't her day. And a lot of times it had to do with like, who was in the class before her? And I couldn't believe it, but I finally picked up on it. The teacher would tell me, she was like, if it was a certain person who got dropped off before her, because, you know, they had their own little toddler beef, or because she didn't get to pick a certain, you know, job activity. She's so spoiled by her teacher. If she didn't get to pick a certain job activity, then like she just would walk in automatically, would just like change our drop off anxiety, despite the fact that we still were on routine. Okay. Number four, keep your promise. Again, this will build your child's trust and their independence as your child becomes more confident in their own ability to be without you. And to, when you're sticking to your promise, you know, if you have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and you say, mommy's coming back, you know, early today, whatever, like, they're going to remember that and hold on to that for the whole day. Think about the things that we hold on as adults, you know, as our own truths and promises, you know, for our hope and our anchor to get us through like a bad moment, right? And then when that doesn't come through, the next time that's presented to you, you're going to be like, well, that didn't work last time. So same thing with their brains, you know? And I saw it literally working for my daughter. Like, she, if she knew, like, for instance, like, now that she's in a new school, just recently in the last couple of weeks, I picked up her teacher, her old preschool teacher who had her, she actually was her teacher when she was 2 for a little bit, and then returned to her 3-year-old class. And then because of COVID and because of a late birthday, my daughter ended up staying in that class when she was 4 because she didn't get to transition over into preschool. So I picked, that's like now our god grandmother and her god grandmother. And I picked her up, but I told my daughter 2 days before, hey, you're going to get a special surprise on Wednesday. And she was casting the whole week. And I even at drop, I was like, remember, today's Wednesday. I'm coming back early and it's going to be a special surprise once we get home. And as soon as I picked her up, the door is open. She's walking down the hallway. The first thing out of her mouth was, I'm getting my special surprise now. And like, so you could just tell that like that was on her mind the whole day. Like when you keep your promise to your child, again, it gives them a sense of confidence, a sense of independence that like no matter what may have been coming her way, their way throughout their day with their meltdowns and their disagreements they have amongst themselves as preschoolers, like in their heart and their in their soul, they're holding on to something, and that's a, whatever promise you give them. You know, of course, at every drop off, I'm not promising a special treat or a special toy, like the, you know, money don't grow on trees, like my mama would say. But it's more of like the promise and the reassurance of like, mommy's coming back, and when we go home, we'll get to cook dinner together. And when we get home, we'll get to read your favorite book, whatever it is, so that it allows them to hold on to something and to put their hope in something, knowing that like you're returning. Not only are they happy to see you have returned, of course, to pick them up, but also that you're connected to whatever that activity or that special moment may be. And that's what they're holding on to get them through their anxiety in that first hour or two, because it doesn't always last. Obviously, if it did, the teacher in the school will be calling you. And most of the time, they're not, because they deal with this. And it's not your, your child is not the only one who goes through this. You're not the only mommy who feels this feelings, those feelings, because it's normal in this age group. Number five, be very specific. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, you know, and very child developmentally appropriate. You know, when you're discussing your return, you know, don't say, oh, I'll be back at 4:30. Like supposedly, I think my daughter can tell some time on a clock, because I would pick her up a lot when she was 3.5, 4. And I'd come in the classroom, I always try to like see where she was doing, where she was and what she was doing, observe how she interacts, you know, before one of the other teachers would always blurt out, mom's here. And I'm just like, gosh, like, let me sneak up on her. But sometimes I couldn't find her. I'm like looking around, and then the teacher would like point over in the corner. There was this little cozy cube, they called it. It was this little built out square box with a circle area, or excuse me, a circle opening, like a cave, and they would go in there, and it was like, I guess, pillows and blankets and stuffed animals and loveys, and she'd bring a book. And they would always tell me that, like, they said, she knows when she, you're coming, because at 4 o'clock, she always goes over there, and she would stop playing with her friends. They would ask her to play with her. She wouldn't pick another area to play in from the hours of like 4 to 4:30. Like, she would sit in the area because she's like, no, I'm waiting on my mom. So I never told her a time, but somehow in her heart's heart, she knew a time. But I would be very specific in regards to, okay, it's going to be after playground time, or it's going to be, you know, today's Wednesday, so mommy comes early on Wednesday. It's going to be when you finish your nap. Or it's going to be, you know, before you take your nap, whatever it was, like just try to give her a time as it relates to her routine of the day instead of a actual digital time. Okay. And last tip that you can try is to practice. If you have a child who has not been in school, you know, for a prolonged period of time, it's their first time entering preschool or daycare, or, you know, because of COVID and virtual schooling, or if you decided to homeschool for the last 2 years and now you're going to put them back in school next year, then doing something as simple as like practicing with transitions with like a babysitter, or like dropping them off with their grandparents, you know, a play date, you know, family, just telling your child that like, hey, mommy's going to be gone for an hour or two. That's, you know, one Peppa episode and one book, you know, or when you're leaving away for a vacation with your partner, or for me, when I took a birthday trip to Puerto Rico solo this September, I, you know, we talk about it in sleep nights, you know, and I also, of course, purchased her several different activity treats or special prizes, so she got to open up one every night, you know, so it'd be like two more special prizes that you can open and then mommy comes back type of thing. So really try to, again, be specific in child developmental style so that they can understand the concept of time, and knowing that you're always going to return. This really will help to diminish, not eliminate, I can tell you that, but to diminish their separation anxiety. And know that it's very rare that separation anxiety persists on a daily basis after the preschool year. So if you're still in that infancy, you know, to age 5 or so, and you're dealing with this, mama, you are not alone. I've been there. I'm still there with you some days. It does get better. But again, listen to those tips of creating the quick ritual, being consistent, giving the attention in the moment, validating their feelings, keep your promise, be specific with when you're going to return, and then practice being apart. Those should help you minimize some of the separation anxiety symptoms you're seeing in your child. And remember, you can always talk to your pediatrician if you feel that your child is not adapting well with separating, especially beyond the preschool years. I hope you remember that although I'm Dr. Catricia Bohr, certified bilingual pediatrician, I am not the pediatrician for your child. So always remember this is Dr. Mom Sage advice and not medical advice. Thank you guys so much for listening to Medical Mondays. I will be talking to you real soon. Take care.